With social media, so much of our interactions with the world now live online, even after we may not be living at all. But how do you handle your online presence posthumously? In Oklahoma, there's a law that allows estate executors access to the departed's online accounts. But at last week's South by Southwest, James Norris launched a website called Dead Social, which allows people to posthumously update their social media. James, welcome to the show.
Thanks a lot. Thanks for having me.
Okay, so how did you come up with the idea of Dead Social?
In England, there was a very well-known talk show host and comedian called Bob Monkhouse. A few years ago, before he passed away, he created a video about prostate cancer, and it was only shown after he'd passed away.
In that public service announcement, he says, 4 years ago, I died.
Just when you thought it was safe to turn on your TV again, here I am.
Gosh, 4 years already. Doesn't time fly? What killed me kills one man per hour in Britain. That's even more than my wife's cooking. Let's face it, as a comedian...
It was such a powerful message and video. And soon after, I came up with an idea. Initially, a Twitter hack called Grave Tweeter. You would create a series of tweets that would only be sent out once you've passed away. Since then, I've evolved the offering hugely. And now it addresses it in a much more delicate way and a much more suitable way that should appeal to the general population who's online and active within different social networks.
How does Dead Social know you're dead?
A user will need to give access to somebody who they know, love or trust. They would then be able to start the mechanism rolling once you've passed away. We are building a separate mechanism, the Dead Man Switch, which will be a user-defined amount of time. Say, for example, a user uses Facebook every day. They may say, right, if I don't log into Facebook over the course of a week, I may be on holiday. If it's a month, then, yeah, I'm probably dead. But but if it's 2 months or whatever the user thinks is relevant for them, they will be sent an email asking them to please confirm that they're still with us. If they don't respond after the second email, that's when the messages will be sent out.
If you have left the determination of your death to Dead Social, Dead Social will send you a couple of emails before making it official.
That's correct, yes.
And then what does it do?
It allows you to send out a series of scheduled messages to your Facebook, Twitter, and Google Plus account, which really allows you to extend your digital legacy. It allows you to amplify the voice and the personality that you had in life. There's no reason why once we've passed away that we should stop being able to send out information and distribute content and make people not only aware but keep them up to date with how we used to live and how we were.
Keep them up to date with how we used to live. That's just plain strange, James. Mm-hmm. The people who are excited by this, what do they say they want to use it for?
Well, that's the thing. It's totally down to the individual. Some people will want to say their final goodbyes. Some people may want to have a virtual relationship with their unborn grandchildren. There's a plethora of different ways in which the platform can be used. And these range from your simple daily interactions to something that's more secretive or more exciting or more kind of sensitive that possibly was unable to be said at the time.
Things like, here's where I buried all that money.
If only, yes. Now, if that material has been created solely for distribution after the individual has passed away, then the strength and the power and the poignancy of whatever message is said is amplified tenfold.
Well, right now, Dead Social allows you to update Google+, Facebook, and so on. But 10, 20, 30 years from now, those platforms may not exist. What happens to Dead Social then?
All of the information that's sent out is also made available on the user's private Dead Social account. If new social platforms are made available and the user is still alive, then we will allow them to integrate the next big social network into Dead Social. If not, it would be unethical and immoral for us to create an account on their behalf.
What about my great-grandchild? if the right to my information passes down to her, can she go converting it to new social platforms?
Yeah, I mean, if
did I just give you an inspiration?
You did, yeah. It's he or she could by all means create an account on a social network that's still to be launched.
So the response to all this has been phenomenal, but a decent part of this response has relied heavily on the word creepy. What do you think about that?
In the Western world, we're awful at approaching death. Death approaches us before we approach it. I fully understand why the word creepy has been used. However, when you benchmark that against the value of receiving the messages, I think the word will be diluted with other words much more pleasant going forward. If we're lucky on our deathbed, we may be able to say goodbye to our family and our close friends. But we've got wider communities now. By integrating Dead Social into your digital will, if you like, you're really able to say those goodbyes, whether it's a traditional kind of farewell goodbye or whether it's more tailored and personal to individuals. Again, it's really down to the user.
Okay, James, thanks very much.
Thank you.
James Norris is the creator of Dead Social, on the web at deadsoci.al.
Casper, the friendly ghost, the friendliest ghost you know. Though grown-ups might look at him with fright, the children all love him so. He always says hello, and is really glad to meet you wherever he may go. He's kind to every living creature.
That's it for this week's show. On the Media was produced by Jamie York, Alex Goldman, PJ Vogt, Sara Adurkman, and Chris Neary, with more help from Robert Schoon and Louisa Beck, and edited by Brooke. Our technical director is Jennifer Munson. Our engineer this week was Andrew Dunn.
Katya Rogers is our senior producer. Ellen Horn is WNYC's senior director of national programs. Bassist composer Ben Allison wrote our theme. On the Media is produced by WNYC and distributed by NPR. I'm Brooke Gladstone.
And I'm Bob Garfield.
Support for On the Media comes from the John D. and Catherine T. MacArthur Foundation, the Ford Foundation, the Jane Marcher Foundation, the Overbrook Foundation, and the listeners of WNYC Radio. This is NPR.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.